What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, June 17th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best blue eyes in San Francisco, a.k.a. boy, that's a nice jacket. At Tim Geddes.
I'm never going to stop wearing this jacket, Greg.
You're wearing, of course.
It's in one.
If it's an audio listener, it is the Cyberpunk 2099 jacket.
Yeah.
It does look good on you.
Yes.
27.
Yeah. I love it. I love it so much.
Spider-Man 2099, I just feel had it market cornered on 2099-ness. And 2077 is just hard.
Because here's my thing. I wear my bomber jackets typically once a week.
Sure.
But I get twice a week out of this one.
Yeah. It's perfect. You know what I mean? What did Gia think of it?
Big fan.
Yeah?
It was a big hit. When I turned it to the yellow side, inside a building that had just a bunch of windows, so there's a lot of sun coming in.
Sure.
They didn't like it that much.
Sure.
It was a lot.
Then you just turned it black.
Yeah.
So you're right back to it.
I'm doing it.
You're turning it inside out right now. Everybody, this is it. Does this count as wearing it twice now?
No.
No, okay. You can get away with it, you think, still? You can still switch it up? I don't know. The yellow is my favorite side. I agree with that, you know? That's not to knock the black side with the patches and the samurai in the back. There it is. How much are these going for on eBay, you're telling me right now?
I saw upwards of $400.
Yikes.
People are crazy.
Right? Just get rid of it. Yeah. Just do it.
Never.
I'll get you a yellow jacket for $100. No. You know what I mean? Like, it's that easy. How are you doing in your post E3-ness?
You know, it's been a lot. Yeah. I remember we got back on
Friday
night. Late Friday, got delayed on the tarmac. So Saturday morning, I woke up and I'm like, I can't believe how much free time I have until Monday.
Yeah.
Wow. And now here we are.
I know.
I don't remember. I don't know where any of that time was.
No, it's sand through the hourglass, of course, is right away to it. I'll tell you what the biggest problem I have now is that I'm officially addicted. I'm officially addicted to starting my morning with the Trent iced coffee and the egg bites from Starbucks.
Woo!
I did it, of course, during E3, run up to E3, the conferences. You know what I mean? I did it at EA Play.
Yeah.
I had to do it. And now, like this morning, I woke up, I guess there's no food in the house. I know I don't have my yogurt here. We're back from E3, but we're not really back.
Exactly.
This weekend was like a vacation weekend where it was like, you know what? We're not doing the chore part of being in the house. House is a dump. We're playing games. We're going to the movies. We're hanging out. Like, we're going to eat out. I'm not going to sit there and do this. Went and saw The Dead Don't Die.
Oh, how was it?
It's weird. So let's save it for screencast. Bring me on Friday. What do you say? I'll give you a pre-recorded segment on Friday. How about that?
Sounds good, man.
All right, good. Okay. Last night I went and watched Big Little Lies at Alamo Draft House. It's a great time. Yeah.
How big were those lies?
They were sometimes little and sometimes big.
Whoa!
But I don't have time for that right now. Instead, we're going to talk about the fact that is The Last of Us Part 2 dated? Ooh. Is Cyberpunk coming to PAX? Mm-hmm. And are No Man's Sky fans nice? Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can give us your questions for the show, your reviews of games. You can give us everything under the video game sun for inclusion in this show. Then you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what facts we screw up as we screw them up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, listening on podcast services around the globe, and everybody over at thatroosterteeth.com. Did the audio thing out of the thing. It's like I said, we're coming back. A lot of going on. Mm-hmm. Housekeeping. We are back from E3, but that means there's a ton of E3 content that went up while we were gone. We understand E3 is busy, but you might want to pop over for two videos in particular. I think the games cast, where we decide game of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Snowbike Mike guests. He has to be the deciding vote. He just kills it. You know what I mean?
He does kill it.
And then, of course, this morning popping was the Easy Allies crossover on the Gamescast. Obviously, Easy Allies content already went up of us over there talking about E3 with them.
Yeah, so you can go to youtube.com/EasyAllies to get the video of me and Greg talking to them there. And then now youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, you get the Gamescast of them talking to us.
Yeah.
Also there.
Also there.
In a different room.
Streaming. You know what I mean? There. Jen's in the back of this video for a little bit, so that makes it better already.
Yeah.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Daniel Massey, Blackjack, Colton Yoder, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Grubhub, Brooklyn, and Quip. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen.
Kevin's got it.
I appreciated the.
Well, it's that thing where I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm trying to figure out how many there were. The pages were sticking together. I didn't put it. Yeah, you can see it right there. Blank. I usually write how many stories there are in the blank spot I left, but I just left the blank. Anyways, number one. is The Last of Us Part 2 coming in February.
Oh my God.
Joseph Knoop over at IGN.com.
Just think about this for a second.
Sure.
How are we supposed to deal with this 2020? Is 2020 about to be the new 2018?
Probably, in terms of just amazing game after amazing game after month after month.
It just sounds insane. I mean, I think we're missing February right now, if I remember correctly. We don't have a heavy hitter. Because in March, we got Final Fantasy. April, we got Cyberpunk. May, we got Avengers.
Damn. That is pretty good. That's a good looking
year. And if we start this off with February, whoo! November, Death Stranding.
Let me tell you what Joseph, friend of the show, is saying. Originally reported on by Eurogamer, three separate reports or comments indicate an early 2020 release date for the highly anticipated The Last of Us 2. First is a recent interview from Critical Role YouTube channel between voice actor Ashley Johnson, who plays Ellie in The Last of Us and plays multiple characters in Critical Role, and Critical Role creative producer Brian Foster, who are also engaged to one another. In the interview, Foster asks Johnson when the game is coming out, and Johnson begins to mouth what appears to be the word February, making a distinct "fuh" sound before Foster actually interrupts her with a follow-up comment. I'm sure because Brian's like, oh God, she shouldn't say that.
No.
Skip to the 1 hour and 7 mark in the video if you want to see the exchange. Lending a little more credibility to that possible slip of the tongue is an earlier report from Kotaku's Jason Schreier. Back in May, Schreier's source informed him that Death Stranding, Hideo Kojima's upcoming game, would release in November, which turned out to be true. Along with that, Schreier says he was told that The Last of Us 2 was bumped to, quote, early 2020, possibly February with a question mark. Daniel Ahmad, a video game industry analyst at Nico Partners, later posted on Reset Era that February 2020 is the current internal date at developer Naughty Dog for The Last of Us Part 2. It's not clear how Ahmad came about this information, however, but as we've talked about on this show before, we trust Ahmad. We've put Daniel on the show. We put up his Twitter that one time for people to go there. Tim?
Yeah.
What do you think about that their release date? February 2020, The Last of Us. Good date?
Totally buy it. Yeah. Totally makes sense. February sounds weird to me just because I feel like it's typically the March that we get these PlayStation games.
Sure, like God of War stuff.
Yeah, well, even that was April, but I feel like Horizon, if I remember correctly, was March.
I think it was going to be, right? Yeah. That was in the Raising Kratos documentary, so checkmate to you.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Just got it. We got him! We got him!
Second up, there shouldn't be an R in the middle of February.
No, there shouldn't be. Sense.
I don't pronounce it.
February, you wearing?
I don't respect you, R.
No, nobody does.
It's great. Let's go. That's enough time from Death Stranding to get into this.
100%.
February release date for Last of Us, just in terms of like how I'm feeling, sounds a bit weird. Last of Us, very dark game.
Sure.
I'm not feeling my darkest in February, but maybe that's just me.
See, it's going to do incredibly well regardless.
Oh, yeah.
But we always talk about those spring games, right, actually being off to the races well. I think it's a great idea if they can actually hit February before everything else starts dropping in March and April when you see it.
Yeah, that's the thing is I feel like it doesn't have to get out at any time because Last of Us is one of those just standalone games that no matter when it comes out, it's going to kill.
Of course.
But give it the best chance possible to totally dominate.
People have their PlayStation 4s from Christmas. Yep. Everybody is done with the games. You know how it is. As soon as we turn into the new year, your old games are old. You want the new hotness. What's happening?
Yeah, I feel like late January would have been a great target to then slip into February at some point. But at the same time, like I still feel like even if this makes it into March, like the people that are going to buy this game in Final Fantasy 7 are going to buy both anyways.
True. Fair.
This is exciting, though. I like that it's this soon, because that's not a sure thing. Like, it could definitely have been fall 2020, and it would have been like, oh, makes sense. Checks out.
So
this is exciting.
With that done, where do you put Ghost of Tsushima?
I don't know. I mean, I think that this is a very fascinating kind of turn of events the last couple of weeks, finding this out, whether or not this is true, but knowing Death Stranding is true. We talked for years, it felt like, of the big three, when they're going to fall, and how that relates to the PlayStation 5. And you know, now that we have confirmation of that next Xbox being holiday 2020, still don't know the date for PlayStation, but you gotta
assume it's right there.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Unless they pull some crazy stuff, you know, and they
want
to have it come out earlier in the year. But I don't know where Ghost of Tsushima goes. August? That's always felt like an August game.
Yeah.
Whatever year, doesn't matter. It's an August game.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're throwing out there.
Yeah.
I feel like the leaves. And this is a place you can get me on kind of funny.
Something about the leaves.
.com/you're wrong, where Lord of Pwn points out Horizon released in February 2017.
Late February.
Right. Same thing as Zelda.
Yeah.
However, it
Zelda
feels like.
Was March. That's why I'm confusing them. Switch launched
Horizon
March 3rd.
Horizon only February 2017, same week as Breath of the Wild and a week before Nier Automata.
Same week.
Okay.
But like it went, it crossed over from February to March.
Then why don't you just let me have the chalkboard? You know what I mean? It'd be so much easier. We could write all the stuff.
You really gotta fucking have a chalkboard that has the Horizon release date on it.
I would put a lot of weird shit on the chalkboard. Don't worry about it. I lost the point I was driving. Oh, there. PlayStation exclusives. Like big ones, right? I don't feel like they drop them in summertime. Right? Even Days Gone, well, right? Was it before it was out, obviously before the summer?
Yeah, Detroit was May.
I think that's fine. May. I guess Last of Us Part 1 dropped during E3. Mm-hmm. So June. So that's summer-ish. That was a long time ago, exactly. Though. Different PlayStation, different time. Different thing with all their exclusives.
Yeah.
While you stew on that, Jay writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, I'm wondering if the reason we are seeing less gameplay and demos at E3 press conferences is because it's getting harder to put these demos together. We've heard before how much crunch devs have to put into getting a demo ready for E3. It's months in the lead up to E3 and has to take away time from the development of the game. This may also explain why Sony wasn't there. Not only did they not have much to show, but also Death Stranding is coming out this year, and The Last of Us 2 is rumored for February 2020. Had these developers had to make demos for E3, they may not have gotten the games out this early. You buy it?
No. I think it's all just marketing decisions, and like all that stuff was decided. I feel like Sony not being at this E3, it's super clear where they just didn't want to repeat their E3 last year. They had these same games last year.
Yeah.
Anything they showed from this would have felt samey no matter what it was.
No matter how cool the demo was.
No matter how cool the demo was or how big the reveals were. It's like, we got our Last of Us 2 gameplay demo. We get what that game is. We saw that chunk already. And at that point, it's just like, have a release date or
get the fuck off the stage.
Get the fuck off. Yeah. And even then, it's like, just come out.
Yeah,
we believe in you.
Yeah,
Ghost of Tsushima I think has the most to prove. Obviously, it's a new IP,
but that's why they'll get their own state of play, and it'll just be all about them, and have a giant demo and a giant walkthrough and what they're going
to
do.
Got a Death Stranding trailer to drop the release date around E3. That's insane.
Like, and that's the thing is, I don't agree with you, Jay, in terms of it's the demo that's stopping them. I think it's just the fact of the specific instance we're talking right now, Sony first party. I do believe it was, they know that their E3 would be underwhelming no matter how awesome it was, right? Mm-hmm. That was their thing. I'm just like, we understand what an E3 press conference means, and we won't hit that bar, so we're not going to do it that way. They go and start the state of play business where it's like, hey, we can give you different looks at it, let alone, for Death Stranding, right? They don't need a state of play, they don't need E3. Here's an 8.5 minute trailer.
Still disagree with that, but
which part?
How they did Death Stranding. I think that should have been in state of play.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it should have had a state of play with things around it, or at least just brand it as a Death Stranding state of play in the same way they have Pokemon Directs.
Like,
strengthen that brand so it can really mean something.
And what would you want then? You'd want it to be just exactly what we saw, or would you program it differently?
I'm fine with what was given to us. Like, it could have been cool to have some type of like Kojima lead in
something. Yeah.
But State of Play hasn't done that really either. Yeah. So again, it's just branding. It's just a way of bucketing things. But
I just feel like the way they're bucketing it right now, I think what we got for Death Stranding doesn't match what they view as State of Plays.
And I guess that's my problem. Is like, I don't think that's going to be true in the future, and I think it's
you
weird
want them to get
mixed
to it now.
Messaging, and I feel like might as well get it in there so that when State of Play happens, like, we can be like, oh shit, maybe we are going to get Ghost of Tsushima Shadow like being shown off when we don't expect it.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh, it's just going to be VR games, or oh, it's just going to be third party stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and especially off the heels of Final Fantasy VII being in it, like, that was awesome. And then Death Stranding just kind of having its own thing, I thought was a little weird, but
sure.
Still, it was great.
Yeah.
It, you know, people got a lot of eyeballs on it, so at the end of the day, people are into Death Stranding. That's not going
to
change.
Yeah. I bet for Death Stranding, it'll be interesting to see how they talk about it and position it and work it out for the future. Because I don't see it being from here on out a part of State of Play again. And I don't see it getting a major point-by-point demonstration from Kojima or anybody in terms of gameplay. I think the next thing you'll see is a month or two out, a giant preview from critics and press people, and then it'll be into release and reviews.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's how you do it. You have that. You have them come and talk to you rather than get a video of Kojima explaining Transfaring to you or something.
I mean, we're so Transfaring. We're so close to Death Stranding now, man. November. Like, that's,
I know, right?
It's a real game. It's coming out.
Yeah.
I believe it, too. I still think it's going to get delayed.
You don't think it will? Mm-mm. I don't either. Bless you, Kevin. Number two. Are you going to be seeing the Cyberpunk demo at PAX West? According to Giuseppe Nelva at Twinfinite. How do I say?
Oh, I was just saying Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, right?
Like, that's, I don't know if that's...
Giuseppe. I put too much on the G on the front. My apologies.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how he said it.
That's how you say it, though, right? I've heard that.
I went to middle school with a kid that played clarinet, and it was Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
Yeah. Oh,
we're in the middle. Giuseppe and or Giuseppe. Write in. You're from Twinfinite, and let us know how to pronounce your name, because we want to nail it. Anyways.
And also, did you play clarinet?
Did you play clarinet at Tim's school? He reports, while the E3 demo of Cyberpunk 2077 has impressed many among press and attendees, it remains a mystery to the general public. Yet we do know when everyone will get to see it, thanks to global community lead Marcin Momot, who revealed on Twitter that the demo will be publicly showcased during PAX West. If you're wondering, PAX West runs between August 30th and September 2nd. Momot also revealed that the demo is running on PC, but console footage will be shown closer to release. That being said, fans on consoles shouldn't worry, as Momot mentioned that development for those platforms is going smoothly. You'll have to be content with watching, because unfortunately, at the moment, there are no plans for a playable demo released publicly. Interesting number one, that... There's a bunch of different interesting things here. Last time we went to E3, we all saw the demo. We all came out, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Finally, what, it was a while later, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
A couple months,
right? What the gap there was between E3. They just put it on the internet, which is great. People got to watch it. Here, I like that they're getting ahead of the messaging and being like, hey, we're not releasing it before at least PAX, where we're going to go show it to the public. You imagine after PAX, it'll be put up everywhere.
So there were certain things that I... Remember that I might be getting wrong, so let us know, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But even last year, there was a bunch of teases and hints in the trailers that were put out of when things were going to be released.
Gotcha.
And people just didn't catch on to it until later. This time, people did catch on. I think that's why they're being more public about it. If I remember correctly, it was like, oh, PAX is going to be like, people there will see it. And then there was one other date of like, oh, that's when it's going to go public.
Gotcha.
At some point, which is cool stuff. I can't wait for people to see this demo.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I mean, and like, imagine the energy. Like, that's the thing. It's always fun to go to a demo period and watch it, but a demo at E3 behind closed doors, which we got to do, usually more reserved, right? It's more press, it's more industry. To a PAX room, of you assume that's got to be in the main theater, like, you know what I mean, to have that there.
People are gonna lose their shit.
People are gonna go crazy to see them.
What was really cool and what's really special about Cyberpunk is I went to dinner with my friend Curran a couple days ago,
sure,
and he was just like, what's up with E3? Let me know all the announcements. Let me know everything. And I was like telling him all the crazy stuff. And he loves Final Fantasy, especially 7. So I was like, dude, remake.
Bruh.
It's amazing. Blah, blah, blah. I was going through all that. And he's like, oh, man, yeah, I just replayed 7 on Switch. And, you know, he's like, I just don't know about new games anymore. Like, I keep going back and just playing old ones. I think I'm not even sure I'm going to buy the next consoles. Like, I might be out. I'm like, we'll see. We'll fucking see.
Yeah, right.
We go back to my house and start watching a bunch of trailers and stuff. And I'm trying to sell him on Cyberpunk, just talking to him about it. And he's just like, I don't know. It sounds cool, but I don't know. And I'm like, all right, we can't show you what I saw this E3, but let me show you last year's demo.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll just skim through it. I turn it on. 45 minutes later,
he's just like,
holy shit, how is this a video game? And I'm like, exactly. He's like, yeah, I guess I'm buying the next console. I'm like, you don't even need to. He's like, no, fuck it. This sold me on video games.
I'm all in.
That's awesome. But like, seriously.
Did you get him his Stadia Founders Pack?
No, not that far yet. But I really think that there was a power to Cyberpunk. Both demos. And rewatching the other one after seeing the new one, I was like, God, there's so much to this game that like they don't overlap with. Like, there's so much new content in the second demo.
Yeah.
And that's just 2 hours of many.
Our game of the show, everybody. I ruined it if you didn't know, but you should still watch that discussion. Don't worry about it. Nanobiologist clarifies Cyberpunk's E3 2018 demo went public about 2.5 months after E3. Number three, some good news for you. No Man's Sky fans are awesome. This is via GoFundMe. On a GoFundMe page that has been started, it reads, Hello Games has put in a heroic effort to get No Man's Sky to where it is today. As a community, we'd like to express our thanks. The funds will be used to print and install a thank you billboard in Guildford, UK, within walking distance of Hello Games LTD office. A portion of these funds will also be used to buy a case of beer and lunch for the team. All excess funds will be donated to the Sydney's Children's Hospital Foundation. So if you're catching up, there is a GoFundMe started by No Man's Sky fans to get a billboard thanking the Hello Games team, put it at their office, buy their office, and then buy them beer and lunch. Sean Murray tweeted out the GoFundMe link and said, our community has bought us a billboard outside our office to say thank you. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
I thought it was very cute. They're still short of the goal they have on there. So if you want to go over there, contribute.
There's no billboard
feel
yet?
Free. Yeah, from what I understand. Mm. But they're close. They're going to get it. They're going to get it. They got the beer and the lunch. No problem. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
They're going to get it.
Tim?
Yeah.
You were somebody who heard about this George Railroad Martin teaming up over there, mm-hmm. making a Souls game, and you were interested.
Oh yeah.
Then we saw the demo or mm-hmm. the teaser trailer or whatever. Mm-hmm. You were like,
less interested.
Here, I got some news for it. All right. Mm-hmm. This is from Ezra Crab over at IGN, who writes, Elden Rings is more Dark Souls than Sekiro. From Software's newest IP, Elden Ring is in the works as a collaboration between Dark Souls director, it's Hidetaka Miyazaki, right?
Oof.
Okay. I've never heard of look at it.
I know, but you added a high in there that I would have said he.
Whatever. We all know the Dark Souls director, and Greg's stupid. And a song of Ice and Fire author George Railroad Martin. Miyazaki.
Miyazaki. That one I got.
And that's the problem with how stupid I am, is that I know Miyazaki. I hear it all the time. I read it all the time. And when I go to say it, I F it up. Miyazaki tells IGN that the narrative in Elden Ring will be similar to that of Dark Souls, which is known for its vague story and emphasis on environmental storytelling. Most of Miyazaki's other works, including Demon's Souls and Bloodborne, share the same traits. With a fixed main character and more concrete narrative, 2019 Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice was one of Miyazaki's first games to derive from the formula. Yeah. I think, whatever.
Yeah, he meant something else there.
Yeah, it's not derive. It would be what? It would be divert from there.
Diverge.
Diverge. Thank you. Gosh, we got to get this E3 funk off us. And 2018 PSVR adventure Duransine was an even bigger departure from storytelling that From Software fans have come to expect from him. Does that do anything more or less for you?
I think this does a lot more for the community it's trying to serve. So yeah. I think that's a good thing. To me, like the George Railroad Martin part of it was what was most interesting, is like the story stuff. It's going to be vague storytelling. That's not what I want from George R.R. Martin.
Sure.
Cool. This is a Dark Souls game. Awesome. Dark Souls fans are going to eat the hell out of this, and they're going to enjoy it. They're going to want dessert, and they're going to get dessert.
They sure are.
Yeah. So that's exciting. Talking to a lot of people down at E3, people are stoked about this game. They didn't get to see anything more from it on the show floor or anything, but... we have our holes when it comes to our interest in games, and I think the Souls series is definitely one of them here. Kind of funny.
Sure.
So talking to Brad at Easy Allies, like, he's over the moon about this thing. So
good. I'm glad everybody's happy. I was surprised you were interested in it all.
George R. R. Martin. Well, here's the thing. The rumors that were all coming out made it sound a lot more like a action RPG Mega Man game. Mm. Where you're kind of just going to different kingdoms to get powers to then go take on other places. I'm like, that sounds rad if you have a dope George R. R. Martin lore story.
Sure.
So that sounded cool to me. Then I saw this and I'm like, that's not what this is.
Number five and final on the Roper Report, Fallout 76's Battle Royale mode is going to continue. This is from Bethesda and Fallout themselves. We've been blown away by the reactions and responses we've been seeing all week to Nuclear Winter. It has been so amazing to read your experiences and see everything you've been sharing. There are so many incredible up-and-coming overseers. Vault 51 is lucky. With all the excitement and popularity, we wanted to let you know that the pre-beta sneak peek of Nuclear Winter will remain on and continue to receive updates. So thanks for keep sharing your feedback. There's more to come. Thank you again for playing, sharing, and being the best community there is. Of course, at E3, at the Bethesda conference, they shocked the world when they talked about the future of Fallout 76, right? This fall, getting NPCs, having storylines that matter, and quest lines and decisions that matter. On top of that, they launched Nuclear Winter, and it was going to be just a few days of this tease of what this Battle Royale would become to be. However, they saw so much success, they decided to continue it, and Andy Prince wrote in about it to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Welcome back! You don't need to read this on air. Too bad, Andy. Fuck you. You're right in. I'm going to put it on the show. Just wanted to say Nuclear Winter from Fallout 76 is pretty fun for a Battle Royale mode. Experience carries over to Adventure mode, and you don't lose anything from your character by playing. As you level up in Nuclear Winter, you get items/icons for Adventure mode. Last thing, you can build stuff, but it doesn't use resources. Stuff like turrets are items you have to loot, but you can build a sweet fort tower in a single player, blueprint, save it, and then use it for no resources in Nuclear Winter. Hope to see you out there. Have a great week, Andy Prince. Always happy to get a hands-on report of something.
Yeah.
However, I didn't need it. I played it myself.
Ooh, what'd you think?
It's exactly what you've seen me play every other Battle Royale in the world, right? Like, first off, it's team-based. I didn't see an option to get into solo play. I was like, meh. So I just randomly teamed up. They all got killed right away. I hid for a long, long time. Then I was ready to kill this guy came up. Got a whole bunch of good shots on him with his Tommy gun. He's going to go down. Then his crew came up and they killed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But It was interesting. It was fun. I mean, the biggest thing about Fallout 76 in me, right, is what I did immediately was, all right, cool, left that and then went and played adventure mode for a few hours.
Yeah.
Ran around questing, doing my things, picking back up, trying to figure out what the hell's going on in that world. Mm-hmm. You know, realizing I was running a miscellaneous quests that were like for level 26. I'm like level 15. I was like, oh, I got to get out of here. Found back to the main story, ran around, did that stuff. Had a fun time. Thought about hitting up Grimecraft.
Yeah.
I saw Grimecraft playing Monster Hunter World.
Trying to get them vaults.
Of course. I need somebody to come back in with me in Fallout 76 and just get me going again. Because I left off and now I'm like, wait, what workbench was I trying to create? What I know I was trying to harvest ski poles from the ski lift area because I was trying to make something. I don't remember what I was trying to make anymore. Like, I'm in that part with it. Where I'm just, and so it's a little bit freeing because it is. I just run around. I'm like, I scrap everything. What the hell do I care? You know, I use the shotgun. The shotgun breaks. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something there still. Fallout 76, because what I had been doing all weekend is playing Doom. Picked up Doom. Yeah. We're going to talk about this. Yeah. We're going to talk about this on Gamescast. Hell I'll get deep into it. But then when we came back from the movie Saturday night, I was like starting to wind down, and I didn't want the Doom experience at that moment. I wanted something a little more chill, like roaming around West
Virginia.
You
have a little Bethesda weekend.
That's what I do, man. Wow. That's what I do. You know what I mean? Pete Hines. I don't know what that means. Tim?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Bethesda brings us next with games like Deathloop. But Deathloop is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Company Games Daily Show host each and every week.
Yeah. Out today. Insurgency Sandstorm is getting new maps, modes, and weapons today for the upcoming Steam Free Weekend. Crazy Defense Heroes.
Crazy Defense Heroes
is launching on Google Play. Fighter's Legacy is on PC. Speaker Man is on PC. Urban Tales on PC and Mac. Car Trader Simulator is on PC. Golden Treasure, The Great Green is on PC and Mac.
Chukin' So Sig, the Walk the Plank.
A PC and Mac. That was when I looked at it, I'm like, I gotta think before I say any of these words. And then Sea King is on Switch.
I just ran into it.
Gotta do what you gotta do. New dates for you. Ark Survival Evolves Valguero map expansion is gonna launch on June 18th.
Joey!
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what I call an E3 hangover. It was hard with the news. Out, waiting out into the news today, the release dates, my inbox. It's like the industry has not recovered from it being E3 last week. So we needed to get in there that away.
I get it, man.
Tim?
Yes.
It's time for Reader Mail.
It is.
But first, let's talk about our sponsors.
Let me tell you about Grubhub. Grubhub helps you find and order food from wherever you are. How it works? You type in an address. We tell you the restaurants that deliver to that locale, as well as showing you droves of pickup restaurants near you. We use Grubhub.
We love Grubhub.
We love Grubhub. Yeah. We survive on Grubhub here. Kind of funny. How often is there a time when we're too busy between shows to be able to actually go out and get lunch? Or
literally three
out?
Times a week. If you watch the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, what did I put? I put out, it was us in front of Squat and Gobble, and I said, we order from here too much, and here
and
it
is.
This is
Joey Noel. Grubhubbed us some, some Squat and Gobble.
Some SNG.
For the world here. What do we got today?
She ordered breakfast. I don't know. Is the mic on? That's usually the problem, Kev.
Little bacon.
We got some bacon, and then we got some yogurt parfait with strawberries and bananas, which I'm really excited for. Kevin, do you want some of the bacon?
Yeah, can
you
bring me a piece?
Yeah, bring it over there, though.
Yeah, bring it all over there. I don't want to be eating in front of the mics. Right, y'all been getting lax on eating in front of the mics.
You can filter your results accordingly to whatever you're looking for. If you want to be specific about cuisine, restaurant name, or menu item, when you find what you're looking for, you can place your order online or by phone free of charge. Grubhub gives you access to your favorite restaurant's reviews and a 24/7 customer care team that tracks each order and makes sure you get exactly what you want. This is great.
Yep.
This is how you get wings, right?
Uh-huh.
Sent to your house when you're lonely on the weekend and you just need to get some of them wings.
Yeah.
Some of them wings.
Are we allowed to just call people out in ads? Because I'll tell you what, Wing Wings changed their delivery zone, really pissing me and Jonathan Dornbush off, but I'll stop.
You can get $10 off your first order of $15 or more by downloading the Grubhub app and using promo code KINDOFFUNNY. So all you got to do to get $10 off your first order of $15 or more is download the Grubhub app and use promo code KINDOFFUNNY. Grubhub. Keep grubbing.
That's not the same. Up next is Brook Linen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. You don't want them to be... Why wouldn't you want them to be insanely comfortable? Mm-hmm. And now, with that warmer weather is here, maybe it's time to switch up your sheets and duvets to something a little breezier, lightweight, and soft. Check out our newest linen collection with a beautiful assortment of colors. These are luxury linen sheets and robes without the luxury markups. Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they get to work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. They've got 12 beautiful linen colors and patterns to choose from. It's in their name, so you know it's good. Mm-hmm. Brooklinen's newest linen collection is amazing. Of course, you know it's me, Greg Miller. I sleep on these things all the time. I do need new Brooklinen sheets. Mm-hmm. This is probably the time to jump on.
Now's the perfect time. I was actually thinking about, because I also use Brooklinen sheets. Yeah. Since it has been hot, I was going to just get it, just a sheet, an oversheet, because I don't have one of those.
Oh, really? Oh, you know, top sheet, okay.
Yeah, no, I don't. Sure, we don't do the top sheets in the Gutty's household. But I was thinking, am I going to do that? But this sounds even more enticing.
Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product, and all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. And then finally today, it's Quip. It's time for spring cleaning. Quip's got the easiest way to start with your brushing habits. Just 2 minutes twice a day can help you pave the way to a healthier mouth and mind. And now the whole family can get refreshed with Quip. The new Kids Quip has the same 2 minute timer and guiding pulses as our original with no childish gimmicks, so they can brush like a grown up. The new brush is just the same as our original version, just tweaked for smaller mouths. Kids are inspired to brush better and more often with oral care that looks and feels like the products adults in their life use. And they're proud to use Quip. Help them develop a grown up routine with out childish gimmicks. Kid-friendly features like a small brush head, watermelon anti-cavity toothpaste, and a rubber grip handle in colors the little ones will love. Of course, you know we all use Quip here. The reason why, of course, Tim. Wait.
I have a heartbreaking story.
Okay.
My entire toiletry bag in Los Angeles.
You know, you
included my Quip. I called the hotel.
Uh-huh.
They can't find it.
What?
I don't believe them.
No,
somebody stole my Quip.
Somebody stole the Quip for sure.
Somebody stole my Quip. But I love Quip so much. And I'm buying it again.
That's what I like to hear, of course. Of course, it was said that they'd brush it. You brush for 2 minutes. It pulses every 30 seconds to let know when you switch. They automatically deliver the brush heads every 3 months for just $5. So you're just right. The dentist would like you. And then, of course, it comes with travel accessories to make it very easy, which is why I'm taking it on the road to go see Jen's folks this week. And I will not forget it at their house.
Do not forget it. I love it so much that I'm once again going to get the limited edition black on black one.
Nice.
Because it's just too good. This sounds like I'm making this up. I'm not. Yeah. I swear to God, I would say once a week, Gio walks out from the bathroom. It's just like, I love your setup so much. It's just so sleek and sexy. And I'm like, you're talking about my shampoo. And then we just start making out.
Yeah.
That's why we love Quip.
We have such good breath.
That's why we love Quip, and why over 100 Happy Mouths do as well. Quip starts at just $25. You can go to getquip.com/games right now and get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Here's reader mail, but instead I want to do a You're Wrong. Andy Prince writes in and says, you can choose to play solo before you click on Nuclear Winter in Fallout 76. At the bottom of the screen, when you select adventure/survival/Nuclear Winter, you'll see fill team on and off, winky emoji. Now, Andy's where I turn it on you and ask if you're fucking wrong. Because if I was to turn off fill team, that would be me versus a team of four people, right?
Yeah.
Does that sound like solo mode to you? Do you think I'm fucking stupid when I play these games, Andy?
God.
Do me a favor. Walk out to your car, open the door, put your hand in it, and slam it on your fucking hand, wow. Andy.
Don't do that.
You're getting Kev all revved up.
Don't.
Kev liked the way you talked to Andy there.
Legally
he liked it in the beginning, and then when I started threatening violence upon Andy, to actually he was like, whoa, wait, back it up. Beep.
If you're doing that, that's on your own.
The Sheep Whisperer writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Jesus. Thank you for all your hard work during E3. I have an inquiry about the up-and-coming Zelda Link's Awakening remake. Is the price tag of $59.99 a little steep for a remake of a 26-year-old Game Boy classic game? Don't get me wrong, the refreshing and unique art style is fantastic, and the story is great, parentheses, from what I remember from the DX edition on the 3DS I played some years ago. But considering that it's a remake of a Game Boy game, wouldn't $39.99 to $49.99 be a more acceptable price point? If the $59.99 is non-negotiable price point, what features could be added to justify this to the fans? Parentheses, is the Dungeon Builder the only known addition at this point?
The Dungeon Builder is the only known addition at this point. Yes, it is ridiculously steep for a Game Boy remake to be $60, but that's the Nintendo tax. Not saying that's okay. That's just the reality of how things are. Does it make sense that Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze was more money on the Switch than it was when it first came out on the Wii U? No. Did it happen? Yeah. Is it still that price? Yeah. That's just how things are. What could they add?
This isn't like an up-resed version of it, though, right? Like, this is a built from the ground up?
It's built from the ground up, and it's pretty as all hell. One of my games of the show. I loved it. Had a great time with it. Can't wait to dive back into it. And it did feel like a fresh experience.
That's my thing, is I don't think it's crazy. I mean, how many? I'm getting the normal-ish amount of Zelda hours out of it when I play it, or is it a short game?
Yeah, but I've never played a Game Boy game, so it's like there. It is different. It is like a smaller experience, right? Like, sure. The map isn't as big as the Link to the Past map, right? Like,
yeah. Am I getting 20 hours out of it?
Yeah.
Then I mean, like, I feel like, okay, they're using the blueprint of what came before, but if it's not just like, oh, we put HD sprites in the game, then that would be a different story.
I mean, it's just an interesting thing to think about, the fact that Link's Awakening came out was $30.
Yeah.
And now it's double the price.
Inflation, bro.
20 years later.
Yeah.
More than that. You know what I mean? Like, that's... last year, when Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee came out, it's like, that was also $60 games. They expect you to buy two of them.
Yeah.
And, like, Barrett was a silly, silly boy when we were watching the Pokemon Sword and Shield press conference or whatever it was, something. And they were talking about, oh, there's the dual pack. You can get Sword and Shield together. And he was like, oh, it'll probably be like a $20 discount. I'm like, no, there won't.
It's going to be
the same price.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it was the same price. This is how Nintendo does things. Their games don't drop in price, and they just kind of stay there, and people are going to buy them for this. But in defense of it, it's a beautiful game, and like, that art style was not cheap, was not free. The love and care being put into this game that is clear from a second of looking at it, let alone playing it. It's worth $60 to me, I can tell. And I'm a believer of, don't put shit in just to put shit in. And I firmly believe this dungeon builder is just
put shit in to put shit in.
For content's sake, to make it seem like, oh,
what is it? Explain
to me.
We saw it in the direct. We were like, oh, I don't understand what that is. Maybe it'll shut Jared Petty up finally.
Yeah.
Then you went and played it and you saw it and you came back and you're like, nah, this ain't itchy.
I mean, it's whatever. It's just kind of like you're taking just different dungeon rooms and putting them in a different order.
But like, as part of the gameplay? Like what? I get to a dungeon and there's like some ghoul who's like, yeah, make your own dungeon.
It's a side mode, right? It's kind of like Mario Maker making versus playing.
Gotcha.
Right? It wasn't for me. Whatever. It felt very limited. I also did not get my hands on it too long. But the game itself was amazing.
And that's my thing. Is like
the music, oh my God, it's so good. And like, that, again, cost money to...
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it seems actually orchestrated.
Looking at it, seeing... I mean, and not even playing it. You played, right? But like, looking at what we've seen in the trailers, being a Zelda fan, like, I'm like, this is a new Zelda to me. I never played Link's Awakening. And even if it wasn't, it just... It seems like, yeah, this is a full-fledged Zelda game. Why wouldn't I pay them the full-fledged price? I understand $30 when it came out, but again, as Kevin yelled, inflation is a real thing. Like, you know what I mean? Those dollars aren't the same dollars we're spending now.
Yeah, but if we're going with that logic, then it's like when Ocarina of Time came out and was however many dollars it was. Like,
yeah.
I think Majora's Mask, when it first came out, was like $70. It's like, that's not... Breath of the Wild's not $80, $90, $100 now, you know? So... There's not like a one-for-one inflation.
I mean, modern video game development costs this much, and that's the way they justify doing this, is selling them at that price. And,
yeah, I think it's easy to look at this game and be like, oh, that's cheap to make, because it's a top-down 2D thing. But it's like, there's a lot of money and investment in R&D into creative art styles like that.
Hell yeah.
And really making sure that it's consistent throughout the whole experience. And multiple times in the demo I played, I was wowed by effects happening, or how they dealt with fog, or just like just random little things. In the same way that playing like Yoshi's Woolly World, you're like blown away by how creative Nintendo can be when it comes to art styles for things that we're so familiar with, and just reinventing these old games, or old game styles at least, 2D platformers, top down Zelda games.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen them so many times. But I feel like Link's Awakening is doing for top down Zelda games what Octopath Traveler did for old school Final Fantasy style JRPGs.
Wow. That's a big claim, Jim. I'm looking forward to it. When's it out?
September 20th.
You say September. Oh, yeah, the day before Poe's birthday.
We covered after this. Kevin's mom's birthday.
Dan Wilkinson writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, so E3 happened. It was the best collection of animated CGI trailers I think I've ever seen. Unfortunately, that's not at all what I want from a show about video games. Do you think moving away from CGI trailers is the next step for games? I know it's not a new thing, but I don't remember ever seeing them in that quantity before. For me, they are literally irrelevant marketing. For a video game, an unrelated, different studio made CGI's animated short and logo reveal gives me absolutely nothing. If anything, it makes me hesitant and puts me off the game. Video games should speak for themselves. Cutscenes and gameplay only. If it is not, quote, in the game, you have wasted my time and wasted your money. Hope you all had a great time at E3, and I'm glad it's back to work as normal. Dan Wilkinson.
The further I get away from E3 this year, the more I realize how much I enjoyed this year's E3.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of just, we're just so, I don't want to go down the entitled route. It's not that.
Well, I said we're this just, on the show, I'm including us and me, and I'm not saying the audience or the consumer. Everyone who loves video games, we're spoiled.
We're spoiled.
There's so much awesome shit on a daily basis now.
The level is so high now for games to either be good, the quantity of good games coming out, the way games are announced, the rate at which games are announced. Like back in the day, and I say that as in 5 years ago, you had to wait till E3. There was this only one time a year where things would happen.
Yeah.
Now things are happening constantly, and we still have the same expectations out of E3. And I still think that with that in mind, it still did a good job of having a lot of genuine surprises this year. Talking about the CG stuff, it's always kind of been that way, and it's always been a lot of smoke and mirrors when it comes to what's gameplay, what's not, or whatever. I think that it's always case by case, and seeing a CG trailer of Deathloop got me really excited. Seeing a CG trailer for Gears 5, not so much. Halo got me excited, but I wanted more. And it's like, I feel like all three of those games have very different things going into it. Deathloop, new IP, it's not coming out right now. We'll see gameplay next E3. Like, that's kind of the promise, the track that's on. Gears, it's coming so soon. Like, how, the gameplay should be the thing exciting me for that. And I thought that was a letdown not seeing it. Halo, it's like, we know what that game is. And I want them to prove to us what that game is, because it needs to show us it's the God of War. We needed the God of War 2016 E3 demo for Halo, and we didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I just think every game's different, and the CG stuff is part of the game, especially now. Especially looking at Final Fantasy VII, Advent Children back in the day, the CG movie was crazy because it was like this impressive showcase of what CG can be. Now the game just looks like that.
I think you're not stumbling upon it. You're hitting upon it in where I fall on this, in that if we want E3 to continue, this CG trailers are going to always be a part of it, because it is just such a different event to different games, to different companies, of what you can show, right? And I understand that, okay, let's take away all the CG trailers from Bethesda's conference. It's either a super short conference or it doesn't exist at all. Like, it is their chance to come out and market things and run commercials and for their games. And I don't mean it in a dirty way. I mean it in a way that legitimately, like, we're publicizing what we're working on and making announcements for Ghostwire, for Deathloop. And those games are not ready for prime time. Those games are not ready for big demos. Those games maybe don't even make sense as that's how you'd explain it in the 5 minutes you've been allotted during the press conference of what it is. You can drop these hints, like you're saying, drop the trailer right now for a game that isn't ready for prime time, with that then being the promise that, guess what, at next year's E3, you're probably going to get a deep dive into gameplay of it. And then I think you're nail on the head with, like, Gears was such a weird thing of showing us the CG trailer of the head moving
way
around.
Too long.
Exactly. Like, just show us the game of that. Like, don't, if you have Austin Creed and AJ Styles, don't just leave them under there. Let them play. Bring them out on stage and let them play for a little bit and show us what's going on. Do something cool with that. It is a mix
Avengers
up.
Is the last one I want to bring up. I'm sure. Just like,
terrible.
Why would you not, like, why are you going to show that CG and then not have any gameplay? It's back, especially when there is gameplay.
Some of it was gameplay, right? Because you talk about it being the bridge stuff.
But that's not real gameplay, though. There wasn't a HUD and stuff there. It's like, and they, and again, it's all case by case. I feel like in other situations for different games, I'd look at it, and if they did that type of thing where it's like a trailer of a bunch of gameplay, but like they're breaking the camera a little bit or whatever, I'd still count that as like, oh, it's in game, whatever. The Avengers tried to trick you, where it's like a lot of that stuff, it was in between CG stuff, mm-hmm. and like without a HUD, it's like, it's not clear that that stuff's gameplay. Like, everyone had to be like, what's game? I think Dustin Legarry broke out, like, here's the 15 seconds of actual gameplay from the 5 minute trailer or whatever it was. And it's just like, we shouldn't have to, like,
work that hard
to understand what it is based on seeing behind closed doors demos.
Yeah.
But
so then Dan's question is, do you think moving away from CGI trailers is the next step for games?
No.
I think it all works as a system, right? It all works as a harmonious system. And sometimes it can be pushed one way or the other, too much, too little, right? Where it is like, for Deathloop, that game sounds really interesting, but if the gameplay isn't there yet or they're not happy with it, is that what I need? Is a 10-minute demo of them playing Deathloop for me to understand Deathloop? Do I want the boring, hey, this, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Deathloop. Here you can see our protagonist doing this, that. Like, I don't need the spoken over developer diary either. Yeah.
I think E3 press conferences are at their best when there is a healthy combination of, hey, here's a reminder about a game coming real soon with a small little update.
Yeah.
here's a deeper dive into a game you're going to get to play in the next couple months to half a year. And here's a tease at the future and why you're investing in this ecosystem. And I think that Nintendo did that best this year. But I still feel like CG trailers have a big part in at least one third of those things.
Yeah. 8Ryu73 writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hi, Greg and Tim. My hype levels for Fantasy VII Remake are through the roof, and March is long, long way away. Yeah. What do you think the chances are we get a demo from the E3 demo I'm going to do on PSN? You think you got that the Pizza Hut demo on E3 on the PSN?
I'm going to say zero.
Yeah.
Anytime soon. Square's weird about demos, though. Like, they released chunks of their games in ways that I would have never expected. I remember even with Final Fantasy 15, like, they kept dropping the free trailer or demos and that were weird demos that weren't even part of the game. So they make some weird decisions.
Yeah.
But I don't think anytime soon where you guys are going to get to play it, which is a real bummer.
A shame.
Because, damn. Oh, it's
That'd
so
be
good.
Cool if they released it.
I just think it's too soon.
Yeah.
I don't think that serves any... Like,
they can wait.
They've won people over right now. Like, there's nothing they need to prove about Final Fantasy VII Remake that they didn't at their conference.
Okay. Like,
and I think that the conversation around it is proof of that. Get closer into next year. We'll see.
Okay. Well, on this Final Fantasy VII train, Lee writes to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm aware. And says, "Hey, Greg and Tim, welcome back. So Tim's hype level for Final Fantasy VII Remake has me super stoked about it. I was originally tepid on it, but after Square Conference and Tim's reaction, that changed. The original did something that I hate in RPGs, where you have to basically choose your party right off the bat. And you have your main three, and that's it. No other party members get XP, etc. Did they mention anything at the demo about this? Now, if it's just Midgar, it won't be too many characters. However, can you play with all four at once, or is it still just three?"
Mm, I see what you're saying. In the demo of everything we saw, there was no moment where there was even the potential for four characters, if I remember correctly. There's one scene where Aerith, whatever you want to call her, kind of like runs off, and then it is just the other three.
Uh-huh.
But that seemed like a story beat that they're adding instead of like a actual gameplay thing. You can switch between characters live while battling using the up and down on the D-pad. But I can't imagine the HUD and the user interface having room for four.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be stuck to three still. And I also think having four could be a little too overwhelming at any given point. And it's four plus, especially later in the game.
Spoilers.
But, yeah.
Just let me know. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they'll just figure out the XP system differently because I don't think you're going to... It's not going to function the way the original did, I don't think, in that only the people in the battle get experience. I think it's going to be a bit more story-based where the team gets experience somehow, or I'm not really sure, but especially with how the demo played, like there was, you could just play the entire thing as Cloud if you wanted to, or as Barrett, or as whoever. We only got to play as Barrett and Cloud, but
okay.
Dude, I'm like hooked on this Final Fantasy VII hype train, man. I replayed the Pizza Hut demo, on the flight back on Switch. And just to compare the original game to the remake, and I'm just like, there's just so much shit that I like didn't even realize having not had it back to back. Where the demo's so expanded on, like,
it's
such a great experience, and like they did such a good job paying homage to it, but then just expanding it into this like beautiful world. I keep listening to all the Distant World soundtracks
I'm
and
glad,
stuff
man.
Now on Spotify, Final Fantasy music.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out to your
man. It's just Final Fantasy VII hype, baby, all over.
You got a little bit of time left, though.
Ah, yeah.
Don't worry about
it's
it.
Okay.
Don't get hyped out. You know what I mean? If that's even possible for you.
I don't think it is for this game. I believe in this game, man. It's not like some of the other Square games where it's just like, I'm excited, but
I'm like,
I am in. I'm so in.
Would you say you're more in on this than Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy 15?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
This, every, I've what got about to play it? This.
Just that it's just like what you saw is done right.
Yeah. They're doing it all right. It's like, I feel like this was the easiest one to fuck up because we're basing it against childhood nostalgia.
Classic,
we're basing it against our memories of this game, and it's better than it, in my opinion, so far.
Just what you see. Yeah.
Yep.
Huh. It's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You think they hit the release date? They don't slide?
I do.
Okay. 2038 Pokemon CEO gets the final question of the day at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Tim, what are your thoughts on there not being a national Dex in Pokemon Sword / Shield? For non-Pokemon players, you cannot import Pokemon from other games to play with. If Snubbull is not in Sword / Shield, you cannot transfer Snubbull in.
You know this, Snubbull.
I know Snubbull so well.
Detective Pikachu. He was the pink dog thing.
Yeah, it was cute. I liked him, actually. This is a feature fans pay for with Pokemon Bank, soon to be Pokemon Home. I'm worried how this backlash is impacting employees' mental health. I've never seen the Pokemon fan base act this way before. When times like this happen, is there a way to show support for the employees? Do you have leadership advice to give when crisis PR situations happen? So this is a crisis right now? People are flipping out?
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't heard anything about this.
Very,
no offense.
Very, very upset about it.
All right, so basically, I can pay for the Pokemon Bank.
Basically, you're limited to certain Pokemon in Sword and Shield. And eventually, probably, they'll open up the ability to transfer all of the old ones from the other games. Okay. Hundreds and hundreds of them. And people pay for a service to be able to store all those Pokemon. So not being able to use them in this is kind of weird. A bummer.
Gotcha.
There's an obvious reason this is happening. This is the first console Pokemon game. The assets are ridiculously different and bigger than they used to be. Not all 1,000 Pokemon are almost 1,000
totally
Pokemon
rendered are, and ready are, to go. Ready. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like they're going to have to, you know, update, work on all that
roll
stuff
out,
and go from there. I also think from a gameplay perspective, I was talking about this a lot with the reveal of Sword and Shield. I was a little bummed that they have so many Pokemon we're familiar with. I like the idea of just going in fresh and it just being like, you don't know any of these guys. Like, we're all in this together of learning these Pokemon. But this kind of feels like a weird half step between all of that. And people are very upset about it. Like, the hardcore Pokemon people are very upset that they can't use their Pokemon. This doesn't affect me too much when it comes to this.
Do you pay for the Pokemon Bank?
I don't. And I like just kind of going in fresh. And eventually they'll add them all. But yeah, people are rightfully so upset about this.
Gotcha. Do you feel the messaging's been bungled? Because wouldn't that make sense? Of being like, hey guys, we have bad news. You can't use the bank because the assets are such high res. We're going to work on all the stuff. So we're announcing the waves we're going to try to do. Stuff like that.
It just doesn't work that way with this. Because it's like, it is a weird thing where they want you to play the game a certain way. So it's like, they wouldn't even want to have that messaging because it's not about that. That's like kind of just archival stuff for later.
Okay.
And like end game and all that. But like for the core game itself, like they want you to experience this game with the Pokemon they have at play.
Okay.
With what they're designing. It's going to be interesting. I don't know. It's hitting a point where there's almost 1,000 Pokemon. That's super hard to manage and balance and work through all this stuff. That's not making excuses. It's just a reality.
Yeah, the reality situation.
So we'll see how this goes. To answer your question about the advice to give when crisis PR situations happen, don't get too caught up in it, I think is the best thing. Is like, just remember that to look at the feedback and really try to understand what is valid criticism that you need to act on and what doesn't matter to just like let roll off your back, and then to really spend time and ask questions and talk to people, both the community and to the team around you, and be like, what should we do about this? What is the right move forward?
Sure.
But
I mean, to Pokemon CEO's question here, and on top of that, right, of just like, I've never seen it act this way before. And when times like these happen, is there a way to show support for the employees, right? It's I think, to be as level-headed as possible, right? When there is a PR crisis or situation like this, it's always the wave of emotions, and they're so intense and so fierce and so owned by the person, right? Which is fair and understandable, but like you're saying, separate the wheat from the chaff, right? Understand what's going on here. Be able to understand they're coming from an emotional state. What are they trying to say? But then also, as you continue to go on, and if you know you're personally upset by this decision, voice that as respectfully and clearly as possible, mm-hmm. without having to be a personal attack, without having to, you know, be crazy about it. And then also, you have to be there to praise people when they do right, right? It's always what we talk about with when anything goes wrong or there is a thing to be mad about. There's the vocal minority that, you know, in the old days, in a lot of my old scenarios, was literally just the negative people, like, you know, or trolls or, you know, got lumped in there and stuff like that. I just mean, like, in this instance in particular, the vocal minority of people who are invested enough in this to go talk about it, that same vocal minority, I'm using broad strokes on the internet, usually isn't as motivated to say when they really like something, right? They like something, they enjoy and put it down. Whereas when they're mad about something, they'll go say something. Or when they have criticisms to lob, they'll go out and do them that way. I think it's got to be a balance too of not in the moment if you're mad about this, but when it is corrected or it is done right, or you do like something, tell them that as well, right? So that they get enough of the good stuff along with the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tim,
yeah,
it's time to squad up.
Let's do it.
This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Rob needs help on PC. His Steam username is Kylar1231. That's Kylar1231. I'm a best friend from Dublin, Ireland, moving all the way to Vancouver, British Columbia, on the best coast, at the end of the month. I play a bunch of Rainbow Six Siege with friends back home, and will need some best friends to play with on the West Coast servers during the lonely evenings when my European friends are sound asleep. If you want to help out Rob in Vancouver, British Columbia, hit up Kylar1231 on Steam. Tim,
mm-hmm.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Nanobiologist writes in and says, to clarify, yes, Horizon and Breath of the Wild released the same week, but it was during the last week of February that Horizon released and led to March the same week in 2017. As you stated, but more spelled out. Lord of Pwn says, currently, the February 2020 games are Ori and the Will of the Wisps and God of Monsters. Marsh also has Watch Dogs Legions and Animal Crossing New Horizons. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 is also listed as March 2020, but does not have a specific date set.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a hell of a spring.
Stacked year.
Andy Prince says, my hand hurts.
Earlier, when I was talking about the stack lineup and I ended in May and I was like, Avengers, I'm like, that sounds cyberpunk.
Yeah. Andy Prince slammed his hand in the car door like I wanted him to, Kevin, because he was wrong, and tried to call me out of being wrong. And then Evan O says, there are other differences from the original Link's Awakening. Bottles are not a part of the original game, and the demo Brian at IGN saw, he asked if there would be other differences, and he was told yes. So yeah, obviously it's not going to be the exact same game. I'm excited for it. I'll pay $60 for it.
The bottles definitely make it worth $60.
Yeah?
100%.
Because I can bottle up my fairies and carry them around? Yeah.
I'm being sarcastic, but yeah.
Oh, okay. You're a rude boy.
I guess.
That's why you're in the cyberpunk gang, though. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch live. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch later. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Where the Easy Allies crossover games cast is posted right now. Of course, you can get this show on podcast services all around the globe, along with the Kinda Funny Games cast, no matter where you get Kinda Funny content. Thank you so much for your support. Consider going to Patreon. Subscribe on the platforms you don't use. It just is a thing you click on and you're fine. Everybody's happy. Let's run through hosts for the
especially
week.
Us.
Tuesday, it's me and Andrea. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Witta. Here's where it gets interesting, because I emailed them, but it's this morning, so maybe somebody can't do it. Thursday, Andrea and Tim. Friday, Fran and Tim. But that is subject to change those last 2 days. We'll figure it out. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
My hand's sweaty. It's fine.